A bedraggled figure emerged from the ruined hut, eyes wild and jaw set. With determination, he set off along the dry creek bed, following the directions he had been given in another age, another life. Empty of thought, he let duty sweep him forward. Duty to his master, to Juno, to Coda, to the Wookiees. What duty he owed himself, he didn't know. He hadn't realized that there had even been a him to think of, outside his relationship with Darth Vader. He had imagined himself simply made somehow, one of his master's stranger biological experiments, with no parents and no home but the one he remembered. What if the visions he had endured were real, and he had had a family here on Kashyyyk? How did that affect his place in Vader's schemes? Did it change everything, or nothing? Juno called on the comlink to ask him if he was all right. He said he was. She asked if he was sure. He said he was. She sounded hurt by his terseness, but he couldn't help that. He was so full of emotion, confusion and doubt, and dismal certainty and hope as well, that he couldn't cope with her feelings on top of it. He was trying his best not to feel at all. Galen? He had a job to do. The moorings were larger even than he had guessed from the brief plan displayed by the astromech droid. Its mistress's instructions had been simple. Destroy the moorings, and the skyhook would be ruined. That sounded deceptively simple, given the amount of fortification and security in place. Simplicity suited him, however. He didn't want to think, to have to agonize over motives and methods. He just wanted to act. With none of the joy he had felt while assaulting the lodge, and with none of the challenge offered by the Black Imperial Guards on Bespin, he plowed through the faceless stormtroopers as a wampa would stride through snow. Sith lightning crackled. Bodies broke under his irresistible telekinesis. His mind influenced the decisions of officers, who ordered their underlings to attack one another in droves. None could stand up to him and survive. When he reached the base of the skyhook, he was momentarily given pause. How to bring about the ruin of 6 constructs several stories high? The answer, as always, lay in the Force. Turning his back on the body-strewn battlefield, he put both hands on the base of the nearest mooring. Closing his eyes and his mind to all forms of distraction, he imagined himself at one with the metal permacretan stone. He felt the mooring's strengths and its weaknesses. He resonated with it, until it was hard to tell where his hand stopped and the mooring began. When he could achieve no greater focus, he reached out for the dark side and let it guide him. Energy came like a dam bursting, as wild as every predator on Kashyyyk combined, but as pure as a laser. He tilted his head back and relished the wonder and terror of what he had brought into being. The mooring shook. Its more delicate components, nanowires, sensitive self-regulating systems, microscopic hydraulic channels, fused almost immediately. Once the complex processes maintaining its stability were disrupted, a chain reaction began that could not be stopped. Pressures mounted in areas close to exceeding their maximum load. Hairline cracks formed and spread. A deep vibration sprang up that could not be dampened. The apprentice maintained his assault until hairline cracks became gaping rents, and the vibration shook the world, howling material agony over the renewed firing of blaster cannons. When the first shower of boiling dust and pebble-sized fragments rained down on him, he decided it was time to step back and take stock. He opened his eyes and looked up. The mooring was barely recognizable as the same structure. Electrical discharges danced across its conducting surfaces. Ultra-stressed permacrete flowed like treacle. Larger fragments began to fall, and he batted them away with the Force, feeling no more drained by his exertion than he would have from a light run. He almost smiled at his accomplishment. But one stark fact sobered him to the core. One down, 5 to go.